introduced so many different people and say, hey, just letting you know, Tyson Popplestone will be speaking. You always look around the room when Popplestone is announced and some of the faces are trying not to smirk, trying not to laugh. I always say, I got married in 2011. My wife's name is Jessica Popplestone now, but before she married me, it was Jessica Blackmore. And I always joke with her, I say, babe, you know what, I'm never ever going to doubt your love, because of the fact that you've taken Popplestone as your last name and you're actually committed to this. That is true love right there. She couldn't make it tonight. She'd already booked a little dinner date with one of her girlfriends from Albert Park. So I'm hoping that one of these times I'm going to be able to bring her for her to meet you, because she's heard all the good stuff about you. I did work at City Life Church for 2 years as a youth pastor there. It was a really amazing, amazing job. I got to speak about this message that changed my life and given me so much passion and so much hope. And I really love that aspect of the job. I love being able to get up with a message that you know not only changed your life, but has the capacity to change the lives of those around you. And it's a funny little story. I think I look back at my life and I laugh, because if you had told me in year 10, in year 9, or any part of high school that I was going to be a Christian guy, and not only a Christian guy, but making my full-time job to travel around and speak about this message of grace and of hope and of love, and it would really make me laugh. So I look back now with great thankfulness for the fact that this message did intercede my life and change my life and give me a lot of hope, but also with a smile on my face, because it really makes me laugh how far I've come overcoming anxiety and depression and a whole heap of other elements. But I had my 10-year school reunion about 2 weeks ago, and so many people came up to me and they said, Tyce, what are you doing now? And I said, well, you know what, I was working at the church for a couple of years, and I stepped out of there to focus on climbing Everest and also to travel around Australia in situations like this, speaking to schools and speaking to churches and youth groups about this life-changing message. And so many people laughed. And it was a good laugh. Because these guys, though we hadn't seen each other for a long time, we still had that sense of friendship. And they had to say that they weren't that surprised by the fact I'd taken this road. But as we started talking, we reminisced on some of the old stories and some of the mischief and some of the trouble that we got up to in school. And one of my best friends reminded me of a story in school of how much of a troublemaker I really was. You see, I caught up with some of the teachers and I said, look, surely the fact that I was a troublemaker, surely the fact that I was just naughty was only in my imagination. Am I right? They laughed and said, no, it's actually true. You're a troublemaker. The rules never seem to fit you. The rules that we put in place never seem to suit you. And despite how hard we tried to keep you in line, nothing that we did really stopped you. And I started laughing and started talking. And one of the girls reminded me of the fact that in year eight maths class, Miss Marriott, beautiful teacher. She was about 60 years old, and she was one of those stern sort of teachers. She had this idea. She liked you to be in line. She had a passion for us to learn, and I had a passion for fun. So those two things in that same class seemed to cause a little bit of tension. So each and every class, we started laughing with my friends, because we could see the anxiety on her face about how stressed she was getting and about how much fun we were having. And we started to try and create new ways to have fun each and every lesson. I remember my mate showed me that if you cut the top off a pen and the bottom off a pen and remove the ink, and then you put a tissue in your mouth and chew it up a little bit, if you blow that tissue really hard through that pen, it is very accurate and it sticks very well. So each class, we'll try and aim for different things. I never had a great aim. My aim was never good. It got me in trouble sometimes. You see, sometimes I'd hit my friends and we would laugh. Sometimes I'd try and hit my friends and I'd hit the person next to them and wouldn't be so much laughter. But I'll never forget one day we were sitting in class, and this was a particularly bad day for my teacher. She had given up. She was sitting at her desk. I was a little rule breaker, as I said. And I sat there with my new design, this spitball, which I'd become very accurate with. But this day, I don't know what happened. It was just an off day. And I laughed with the friend next to me, and I said, watch this. I'll hit the clock just above Miss Marriott's head. Never a good situation. So I lined up and I got the class's attention. She was so in her zone on her computer that she didn't know what was happening. I got my aim, got the spitball, and I lined up, took a deep breath and blew. As soon as it left the pen, I knew my target wasn't right. And it was like slow-mo. The whole class was watching this thing go through the room, and we noticed that it was about to hit her in the face. But she used to wear these really thick rimmed glasses, and what happened, and it got stuck right on the corner of her glass. But the beautiful part was it was right in her peripheral vision. And she didn't notice the impact, and it was stuck there for the whole lesson. Until about halfway through the lesson, she went to scratch her face, and as she scratched her face, she knocked her glasses, and it fell down, and she realized what had happened. Eventually, I had to own up. I got detention. I got in trouble. And through that detention, I had to talk about why it was that I couldn't live by the rules, why it was that whatever it was that I was told to do, I had to do the opposite, because regardless of how hard I tried, I just wasn't interested in those rules. And this was the story of my life through so many years at school. But one of the most groundbreaking moments in my personal life was in year 12, 2005. I remember we just got a new teacher, and I still wasn't that excited. I know it was year 12, I shouldn't have been mucking around, but hey, I was there for fun. But this teacher came, and he noticed that I was still cheeky. He noticed I was still a little troublemaker. He noticed that I was a little bit naughty. What I love about this guy, though, he had a bit of a different knack. He had a different way of approaching me. He didn't just tell me off and give me detention. In fact, he'd always wait till after class, and he'd pull me aside and get tight. I know the rules aren't for you. I know you don't love the rules. In fact, I almost get the vibe that the system that we've set in place for you is almost limiting, and you feel as though you just want to rebel against it. I said, man, you're right. He also said, he goes, but Tice, what I want you to know is that you and your friends are a group of influencers in the class. He said, you have a capacity and a joy that people naturally follow you. And he said, what will happen if you keep doing this? He goes, as soon as you start misbehaving, I notice people around you start misbehaving. He goes, you might not realize it, but you're an influencer. And what was funny for me was I never thought of myself as an influencer. I always thought of myself as just a troublemaker. But it was funny how he twisted this little story. Same situation, but he made it a positive. He made it a thing for me to be happy about rather than for me to beat myself up about. And just the fact that he took the time not just to burden me with rules but almost free me with helpful advice, with a helpful message, was a message of love more than a message of burden, was really, really freeing. And I can't help but reflect as I was thinking about what I wanted to speak to you about this week is the similarities that I've noticed between that guy and the message that he shared and the love that he showed and the message of Jesus. I mean, I can't help but compare the burden that I found as a year 12 kid, as a high school kid, trying to go through the rule book and tick the boxes of what my teachers expected, and the freeing nature of the message that this guy who broke all the norms gave to me. Instead of leaving his classes with a burden and a weight and feeling though I'm naughty, I cannot fit into this rule book that's been placed upon me, and thinking, man, maybe what this guy has said is actually true about me, and I'm far more influential and have so much more hope to offer the people around me than what I'd ever realized. So for the next few minutes tonight, I just wanted to take a moment, and I just wanted to have a little breakdown of a verse, of a passage in the Bible, and I want to compare how Jesus' message is a message of freedom, how Jesus' message is a message of hope, how though the religious leaders and though those that lead us in so many capacities of our life might try and burden us with religion and rules, Jesus' message is far more freeing than that. This message for me is something that's given me so much hope, because for so long when I was looking at getting involved in Christianity, to be honest, I always thought it was just a big rule book. I always thought that if you're going to be a Christian, you can do this, you can't do that. A Christian can do this, they can't do that. I thought if I was going to be a Christian, I had to have a to-do list and just tick it off day by day. But what I was so happy to realize was that Jesus' message is so much more powerful, so much more fruitful, and has so much more hope contained within it than what I ever would have imagined. If you guys got your Bibles here, you're probably far better behaved than I was. You got it on the board here. I bought my Bible anyway. I'm going to read it to you. But you guys are a lot better than me. I never took mine. I always just knew that the person speaking was going to have his. So even though he tried to get me involved, I just knew he was going to take it out any second. We're going to go to Matthew 11. And just read through verses 28 to 30. I'll give you a little bit of context on what is happening in this situation in just a moment. But I've got the Message version here with me. And this is what it says. Jesus speaking. He goes, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? He says, come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life. I'll show you real rest. He says, walk with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you will learn how to live freely. You see, what I love about this message is the people that he is speaking to, the people that are listening into him, are burdened by religion. Like I felt burdened when I was in school by all the rules and regulations that had been placed on me, the people that Jesus was speaking to felt that same sort of way. They were like the naughty school children in the culture that they were in. Now, let me give you a little bit of context. These people that Jesus is speaking to were living in a culture where the religious leaders of the day, the people who were in authority, the people who taught others about God, had what they called a law. They had basically a rule book of what you had to do in order to be close with God. If you wanted to please God, you have to live up to this standard. If you wanted to be pleasing and loved by God, you had to live in accordance with these laws. Otherwise, the sin that you're obviously living in is going to intersect that relationship that you guys could potentially have. And who knows, everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to live up to a standard in your own life. And over time, you realize you keep falling short of that standard, regardless of how hard you try. I know what it was like when I was at school, though. I was that naughty little kid, and I tried so hard to live up to that standard, but I couldn't. And each day I left school a little bit disappointed, because I knew deep down that I would like to be able to live like that. And these guys, the people that are listening to Jesus' words, when he asked them, "Hey guys, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion?" Their answer was an absolute yes. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? They felt like these kids who couldn't obey the rules. And I love what Jesus has done here, because he's almost reeled them in. Because who knows, when someone seems to show a little bit of interest, a little bit of understanding about what it is that you're going through, naturally you feel attracted to them. Naturally you feel as though they've got something to offer you. I love that Jesus, like my teacher, offered these guys almost a little bit of bait to say, "Hey, I've got the answer to your problem if this is you." Jesus knew that when he asked the question, "Are you tired, burned out on religion?" that the answer was an absolute yes. And when they answered that way, he continued. He continued with this. He says, "Hey, if this is you, come to me, get away with me, and you recover your life." He says, "I'm going to show you new rest." What I love about this is I always compare it to the situation that I was in school with those teachers. With the teachers who continually place this burden on me because of my misbehavior. Jesus steps in and goes, "You know what?" He goes, "Though you're not really living up to the standard," he goes, "in this situation, it's your teachers who are wrong." You see, these people in this culture were convinced that those who were leading them had the understanding of God that everybody else didn't have, had a way to God that they could coach people to. But the problem was, it was an impossible standard to live up to. And Jesus steps in, this freeing figure, this man who had made claims to be the Son of God, this man who had made claims to have the power to change the life, this man who seemed to know the vulnerabilities, the lack of purpose, the problems and the burdens that each and every one of these people he was speaking to had in their life. And he fished them by saying, "You're tired, you're burned out, if that's you, come with me." You see, what I love about Jesus is he's not promoting some set of rule. He's not promoting some set of religion. He's not saying, "If you do this, you're close with me." He simply says, "Follow me," or "Come with me." You see, what I love about his approach is, if Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, which I believe he is, he's telling us that Christianity is not a rule book, but a relationship. He's saying, if you want to be in a relationship with me, you don't follow rules, you simply follow me. Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. I can never imagine how freeing this message must have been to the people of the time when I sit back and reflect on how I was in high school and imagine the principal of my school, who was bigger than the teachers who were in my class, had more authority, had more power, had more ability to make changes. I always laugh at this. Kids, if you guys are in school, and for those of you a little older, I know that you can understand where it is that I'm coming from. Imagine that your teacher has given you a hard time, though I know you're also well-behaved in this room. Though I know that you're also well-behaved, just imagine your friend who's a little bit naughty, continually getting in trouble by their teacher, continually trying to live up to the teacher's standard, and yet falling short time after time, and all of a sudden, you've always thought your teacher was wrong and their rules were too harsh and they were never really that accurate. All of a sudden, the principal comes in front of the class. The teacher, your teacher, has just given you a hard time for not following the rules, but the principal comes in and in front of the classroom goes up to the teacher and he says, "Excuse me, the rules that you've set for these kids in this situation are ridiculous. The rules that you're trying to place on these kids' lives are too hard to follow. They're never going to live up to that standard. In fact, all I encourage them to do is do their best to try as hard as they can to make sure they're committing to what it is that they're trying to do. Sure, they're going to fall short." You see, Jesus, like that principle, offers a new way, a freeing way, and it's almost like my teacher, who almost dragged the positivity rather than the negativity out of my situation and built it up. That's what Jesus does here. You see, he sees the heaviness and he brings it out. And he continues, I love this. He goes, "Hey, if this is you, well, walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me and you'll live freely." You see, I always love this. My favorite part about Jesus, if I had to pick one of my favorite parts of Jesus, it would be the fact that he makes things simple. You see, so many of the religious leaders, they seem to brag about this fact that they have the authority based on their thorough knowledge. They have this incredible ability to understand the amazing things of God and express it in words that most people don't understand. You see, at this time, there are over 500 religious laws that these leaders were placing on the people who were trying to be close with God. They were saying, if you want to be close, you've got to live up to all of these. But who knows, when there's any more than two rules, I start to get confused. If they're anything like me, I'm sure they felt that pressure. And Jesus steps in and goes, "You know what? Stop worrying about the rules. You want to be a man of God, a woman of God. Here's what it's about. Following me." You see, he simplifies it. And I don't think we can really fully appreciate how powerful his words are in our culture, because the burden that were placed on these people was so incredible. For someone to come in and go, "Hey, you're interested in this? Follow me." That's freeing. Because these people were convinced that they have to live up to these impossible standards that they could never, ever live up to. You see, Christianity is not a rule book, but a relationship. Christianity is not about following rules, it's about following Christ. His instruction is simple. You want to be a part of this? Follow me. But I know the burden of this faith, even in today's society, if we're completely honest, it gets a little heavy. I mean, you don't have to talk with too many people to find out what people are really interested in. Hey, how much are you reading your Bible? Though it's a good thing, it's not everything. Hey, how much are you going to church? Are you there every week? Are you there twice a week? Almost becomes a bragging right now. Don't mishear me. Reading your Bible is an incredibly important tool in growing your spiritual walk. But reading your Bible does not make you a devout Christian, because who knows, just because you've got highlights and an open Bible doesn't mean you read it. Just because you read it every day doesn't mean you apply it. Just because you have it doesn't mean you use it. What I love about Jesus is he said, let's forget about all the extra rules. Let's focus on the relationship. So how does this apply to us, 2015? What is it that we've got to do to actually be able to apply this to our life? And I just wanted to flip this for the last couple of minutes just onto you guys. I mean, do you guys understand me? You know where I'm coming from when we talk about this burden of religion, yeah? You know where I'm coming from when we talk about this burden that we're so easily faced with? When I first became a Christian, I remember there was a pastor in Ballarat and he meant so well. He's an amazing guy. But one thing I realized was, though the message that he was reading sounded so freeing and so loving and so hopeful, the expectation that he placed on me almost seemed as impossible as the teachers of my old school. You see, this guy, though he meant so well, seemed to misunderstand the freedom of the message that he was speaking. He would read it and it was free, and he would teach me how to apply it, and it was really, really heavy. He said, "Tyus, now that you're a Christian, you're going to have to spend time away from the friend that you used to hang out with. I would encourage you to step away from the sports that you're a part of. I would encourage you to step away from the bad influences of life." And I couldn't help but notice the difference between the message that Jesus was speaking and the message that this guy was speaking. It was as though Jesus had this capacity to take a message and influence those who once influenced him in a bad way for the better for them. And now I was being told not to do this. It seemed heavy. It seemed like a burden. But as we finish up the next few minutes, I just want you to just to consider, where are you at in your spiritual walk? Where are you at in your relationship with Christ? Are you feeling this heaviness of religion that we speak about? If I'm completely honest, I think something I've got to continually check myself with is where I'm finding my purpose, where I'm putting my hope. Because one thing I've noticed over the last 7 years since I've been a Christian is that so many conversations that I'm in are conversations with Christians who are speaking about all that they're doing. All that they're trying to achieve and attain. They're trying to make their statuses on Facebook really, really Christian. They're trying to make their lifestyle really, really clean. They're not hanging out with the wrong crowd anymore. They're not saying the wrong things anymore. They're not in the wrong environments anymore. But it's as though the power of this message hasn't really hit their heart because they haven't understood the fact that what they have outweighs the negative nature of anything else that they may be a part of. Now, what I'm not saying is let's just go hang out and be influenced by the wrong crowd. But what I am saying is that the message that we have has the capacity to change the hearts and the lives and the minds of those who we consider to be in the wrong crowd. I mean, what's Christianity to you? Is it a rule book? Has it become a rule book? For me, it's a constant tension. For me, it's a constant tension, not because of the message, but because of the way I try and apply it. I want to look as though this message is changing my life, and how easy is it to dress something up that's a little bit yucky, to make it look good on the outside that's not quite healed on the inside. Where are you guys at with this walk with God? Maybe you've been here tonight just because your parents want you to come. It's Friday night. This is what we do on a Friday night. It's our family thing. And you're thinking, Mom, I couldn't give a crap about being at church. This isn't something that interests me. I don't really want to be here. The fact is that this message is freeing for you too. This message is powerful for you too. I never ever believe that people are just at church by accident. I believe that if you're here tonight, whether you believe it or not, there's a reason, like a divine appointment, that you're rocked up in this room because there's some power in this message that I'm speaking, that if you'd allow it to touch your heart, you'd realize this isn't a rule book but a relationship. You'd realize that there's freedom in following Christ, not following rules. And I want you to leave this room with that sense of freedom, with that lack of burden, with an understanding that Christ is so much bigger than any heaviness that continually has been placed upon you. In fact, as I wrap it up, I wonder if I could just get you guys just to close your eyes, and just for the respect of the people next to us, let's just keep it open, because I know that one of the craziest things about this message that I'm sharing right now is that everybody in some capacity who has been in a church for longer than a couple of weeks can understand the tension that I'm speaking about. I mean, I wonder, hey, when I talk about this fact that this religion can get a little bit heavy if you let it, this rule book can get a little bit restrictive if we think that's what it is. In fact, the joy of our faith can be lost so easily when we realize that we've been following a rule book rather than following Jesus in our relationship. And what I wanted to do now was, I wanted to pray specifically for anybody who might be able to associate with what it is that I'm saying. I remember about 2 years ago, I put my hand up in this situation because I realized that based on what the guy speaking at the front was saying, I was missing something in my life. So what I want to do now, I'm not going to embarrass you or get you to come up the front or get anyone else to open your eyes. I just want this between you and God. And I'm going to pray for you guys. Is there anyone in here that finds this awkward tension between, hey, this is a rule book and it's heavy, this relationship and it's beautiful? And here's how we're going to do it. On the count of three, no one's opened their eyes and all heads are down. I just want to know who it is that I'm praying for. If you felt that way, let's just put our hand up on the count of three. I'm going to pray for you. One, two, three. Just wake your hand up in the air. Yeah, see, it's the same story. Every single church we go to, most of the room understands this tension. And put your hands down. Let me pray for you guys as we finish this up. Lord, I pray that this message of relationship would transcend my words, Lord, would allow the hearts in this room to be able to be impacted by the fact that we're so much greater than a rule. For any tension or for any burdens that are felt in this room right now, for any lack of purpose or just lack of joy based on what it is that we've been told Christianity is, that it is not, Lord, I pray that that weight would be removed, that eyes would be refreshed, that eyes would be put back onto you, Lord. Thank you for the fact that though we go through difficult times, Lord, you bring us out, and that hindsight of what it is that we've come through really just takes us to a new place in our relationship with you. So God, I pray that as these guys leave this building, they'd be blessed, they'd be light, they'd be excited for what it is that you got to offer, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys.
So now we have the awesome opportunity to have a chat together about what we heard, as well as whatever you guys have been doing with your mentor groups this week. Make sure.